All right, good afternoon, everyone. This is the December 15, 2021 meeting of the Chelan County Hearing Examiner. My name is Andy Kotkamp, and I've been appointed by the Chelan County Board of Commissioners to serve as a land use hearing examiner. My job is to render decisions on various applications that are authorized to come before me, which include remands of wetland variances and zoning variances. That's what we have on the agenda for today. I'll consider any testimony and evidence presented at today's hearing, as well as all the written materials and evidence from the prior hearing on file or that occurred in order to make my decision. The hearing process has certain rules, but I still try to conduct the meetings in a relaxed and informal manner, but we still have a procedure we're going to use. I'll go through this in a little bit more detail later, but staff will present a report to make whatever recommendations they wish to make. Then the applicant or the applicant's representative is given an opportunity to present testimony and evidence, knowing that the applicant has the duty to show compliance with all the applicable rules and regulations. If anybody from the public came to testify, they'll be given that chance to do so. And if there is any testimony in opposition to the project, I will give the applicant an opportunity to submit whatever rebuttal testimony or evidence they wish to make. If you are going to testify, I will... I see that there's some attorneys here today, so this applies to you as well. If you're going to give evidence, I will swear you in as a witness. If you're just going to make arguments, you do not need to be sworn in as a witness. If there are members of the public here that are going to testify, I will swear them in as a witness as well. except as provided by the Chelan County Code regarding requests to reopen hearings or requests for reconsideration, my decision on this matter will be final and conclusive unless it is appealed. Appeals are by means of a land use petition action, and they have to be filed within 21 days of the date of the issuance of my decision. And if the appeal isn't timely filed, the appeal will be barred. I've reviewed the item on today's agenda that we've heard before. Like I indicated, I still do not have any interest in this property. I'll be able to fairly and objectively consider this item. And outside of receiving and reviewing the staff report, along with all the remand materials, the application materials, the file materials from not only this hearing, the submissions this hearing, but the prior hearing, other than receiving and reviewing those, I've not had any communication regarding this item. So with those representations, if there is anybody here today who objects to my participation as the hearing examiner, you need to unmute yourself and state so at this time. All right, seeing none, what I'm going to do is I'm going to turn to the item on today's agenda. As I indicated before, this is a matter that's been remanded back to the hearing examiner. The applications are wetland variance 20-003, zoning variance 20-002, and another zoning variance 20-003. These are all applications to develop property that is located within Chelan County, that is more specifically described in the staff report as well as in the application materials. For the record now, I will admit into the record not only this most recent staff report, but all of the file materials for this matter, not only for this hearing, but for the prior hearing. I'll admit the hearing examiner's decision of April 9, 2021. I'll admit all those items. Indeed, I will admit the entire planning staff file into the record at this time by this reference. As I indicated before, I'd note that this is apparently my prior decision was appealed, and this matter has been remanded back to the hearing examiner pursuant to a Superior Court order dated October 27, 21. Reading from the order, it says that the hearing examiner must consider the easements and maintenance agreements of August 3, 2006, which was attached to the order. And it states, in particular, the hearing examiner must consider the effect, if any, the 100-foot wellhead protection radius in the agreement has on these variance applications. And then it goes on to indicate that if the hearing examiner approves the project, then certain notice language must be provided as well. So, of course, I'm going to comply with the Superior Court's order. I would note that although this agreement the easement and maintenance agreement is a private agreement, which I don't believe myself as hearing examiner has the authority to interpret or enforce. But I will comply with the court's directive that I consider this in making my decision. But I just want to let the parties know what I believe my limitations are regarding this agreement. I'd also note for the record that I saw in the newspaper that Mr. Wilms has passed away. And so I, whoever is representing the Wilms family, I want to make sure that this matter is still proceeding. So with that, I'll turn this matter over to staff for their presentation.
Marcus, are you speaking on this matter or am I?
Sorry, I can provide some context. Mr. Hearing Examiner, I don't think staff has much prepared for this appropriately so, because this is just a remand from Superior Court. And I just have a couple of comments. The county's position is that the hearing examiner does to some extent have authority to interpret consider easements in issuing things like variances. So for example, if the staff report had actually had that easement before them at the time the report was prepared, then they would have put a recommendation in there regarding that easement, and then you as the hearing examiner would have to consider that. For example, if an easement, this one is not as clear, but if an easement were to say no building may occur, I think it would be appropriate for the hearing examiner to note that and say we can't do a variance for something that's not allowed. So that's the nutshell of the county's argument on this. And I'm sure Mr. Benson and Ms. Norton will have more to say on either side of that issue. I'd also note that somewhat just as a housekeeping matter, I think the court is correct in directing that agricultural notice needs to be included. So that's, at this point, all the county has to say on this.
All right, thank you very much. Who is here on behalf of the applicant today?
Mr. Hearing Examiner David Benson, on behalf of the applicant. I'll share that I'm joined in my conference room today with Siggy Willems, and also my law partner, Russ Vidal, is present in the room with me today. And yes, there's two issues before this proceeding today. The first issue regarding the notice under the county code provision 1130.0209 is really just a procedural matter. We have no objection to including that notice in any final decision. As far as the second matter that was included on remand, the easement agreement, our understanding is that the county's position is that that easement was a matter to be included in the file for the application for consideration, but our position is that that's not a matter for the hearing examiner office to construe the meaning of that easement. What we are looking at in this matter is an application for variances from certain setback requirements. We are not looking at variances from any easement requirements. And so we believe and submit that it's beyond the hearing examiner's authority under the Chelan County Code, sections 161.020 and 080, for the hearing examiner to construe those matters. Rather, they are matters for the Superior Court. And two cases support this proposition. The Chaussee v. Snohomish County Council case, the applicable provision is at 38 Washington Appellate Reports, page 638. And then also Lejeune v. Clallam County, which is at 64 Washington Appellate Reports, beginning at page 270. And in each of those cases, it confirms that the hearing examiner has limited jurisdiction, that it's not a matter for the hearing examiner to assert essentially original jurisdiction over all matters. And so whether or not the hearing examiner were to extend jurisdiction over this issue, it's a matter that would ultimately lie with the Superior Court. And so Mr. Hearing Examiner, our position is that it's really up for the Superior Court to determine if this easement prevents future development at the property. And that's beyond the scope of these setback variances.
Well, I wasn't at this meeting with the or the hearing with the court. Can you give me some guidance about what the court meant then if by the term that I am required to consider the effect of this agreement on the various applications? How am I to consider the effect in the applicant's opinion?
And so, Mr. Hearing Examiner, my understanding is that the court was persuaded by the county's argument that the easement should be included in the file for the department so that the hearing examiner can be aware of the existence of that easement. But the applicable wording of the order is to determine what effect, if any, that easement might have on the decision. And so I believe that that has sufficient grounds for the hearing examiner to find that a determination of the substance and the construction of a private easement is beyond the authority of the hearing examiner, and that it may not affect the decision in this matter.
So is that within the spirit of the court's order that I'm just to say, okay, I looked at it, but I can't do anything about it. Send this back to Judge Jourdain and have him say, is that adequate consideration that I did on this? I mean, I took the court's remand order to mean much more than just saying that, okay, it's part of the record. That I quote unquote considered just because it's part of the record, but I'm not looking at whether or not this 100 foot wellhead protection radius interferes with any of the construction proposed by the variance applications. I certainly can say something like I've looked at it, and all development has to be consistent with the easement agreement, but I was kind of hoping for something more. I was kind of hoping for some statement that there is no development activity within the easement area. I'd also note that when looking at the specific easement language, it just says that there shall be restricted use around each well, and that the property owners shall not construct, and then it goes into cesspools, sewers, privies, septic tanks, drain fields, manure piles, and a bunch of other uses. So at least some statement that's saying we're not going to be doing any of that within 100 feet. I'm not going to force you to say anything, but I'm just telling you right now that I think the judge's spirit of the judge's award was that I do more than just say it's part of the record, and now I'm going to move on and make my decision.
I'm not aware of any authority, Mr. Hearing Examiner, for the Superior Court judge to defer to the hearing examiner on a matter that is outside the scope of what the hearing examiner considers. And to quote from the Chaussee case that I mentioned earlier, that a hearing examiner's decision, quote, is limited to an administrative proceeding to determine whether or not a particular piece of property is subject to a county land ordinance. And so construction of a private easement is outside of that scope of authority.
All right. So I just want to be very clear, in case this goes back up in front of His Honor again, that it's the applicant's position is that merely just needs to be a part of the record, and that I'm not to further consider the impact of this this easement agreement on the particular applications.
That's correct. If there were a matter that required the original jurisdiction of the Superior Court, then that would be brought as a separate matter to enforce a private easement.
All right. Okay, thank you. I'll look at this more carefully, and I'll look at the Chassé decision as well as the other case. I have to be a little bit more tunnel visioned and just looking at what the judge has ordered me to do, because the judge is very, it appears to be very clear when he said, quote, the hearing examiner must consider what, if any, the 100-foot wellhead protection radius in the agreement has on what effect this radius, the radius of the agreement has on these various applications. So what effect the agreement has on these various applications. So that's what the judge has sent my way. I tend to agree with you that I don't have the authority to enforce or interpret these private agreements or covenants or those anything along those lines. But the court has made a very, very specific directive to the hearing examiner. And like I said, I tend to like to follow court's orders.
And so, Your Honor, Mr. Hearing Examiner, I think that, again, the applicable language from the order is, if any, that if the hearing examiner does not have authority to construe this private easement, then it would not have an effect on the decision for this setback variance or setback variances. And so I understand the question, I believe that, and I think we would have preferred that the judge perhaps could have weighed in a little bit more strongly on what the judge was looking to have decided. But I think that we're also should be cognizant to the applicable case law that we've cited today.
All right. Let me finish some notes here. All right. Thank you very much. Anything else from the applicant at this point?
Not at this point. Thank you.
Please tell your client to accept my condolences over the loss of her husband, too. I was surprised to see that. Before we turn it over to the general public, this matter came back from a LUPA appeal filed by, Sismania. I'll stab at that. And Trammell Shawls and Richard Brender. I'm assuming, Ms. Norton, that you are here on their behalf, or am I over-assuming things?
Nope, that is correct. I'm here on their behalf.
All right. So what would you like to tell me about this?
So petitioners are requesting that the hearing examiner essentially rescind and deny the prior approval on the variance for failure to include the easement in the site plan of record. The court has ordered that the hearing examiner consider this, so we think it's properly before you. There are matters that the easement is relevant to matters that are within the scope of the hearing examiner's authority. In particular, the easement is potentially relevant to the building envelope and or uses that could be allowed in the easement area. And these variances were specifically sought to provide for a building envelope and related mitigation. So the size of the easement is relevant, and the location of the easement is relevant to the uses for which the variances were granted. And we agree with the county that the hearing examiner lacks authority to grant a variance that would violate a private property right or the easement itself. Had this easement been properly, and just as a reminder, the site plan of record omits this 200-foot diameter wellhead protection easement, and the Sismanias do use the well, so all of the protections in the easement are relevant. The failure to include the easement on the site plan of record violates the application requirements in themselves. The county's land use application requirement form requires identification of all easements, deed restrictions, and issues restricting or affecting the use of property. So the failure to include that easement is a failure to comply with their application requirements. It's relevant because including that easement could have, as you, as the county pointed to before, resulted in some conditions of approval that would be relevant to your decision to grant variances and the use of the property. So just based on the site plan, if that easement had been included, it appears that the building envelope would be located within the easement. And while I don't expect you to interpret the easement, there's some pretty clear prohibited uses that could very well impact either the intended use for which the variances were sought, or the building impact or the building envelope. Any of these could potentially require additional consents or approvals. So it's sort of an application failure to not have this easement included on the site plan. Some of the restrictions are, again, realizing that the variances were granted for purposes of a building site for a single family residence, the prohibited uses in there include installing sewers and drain fields. There's a septic system that we don't know if it's in that easement area. Without reference on the site plan. It prohibits maintaining garbage. Does that mean? Sorry if somebody's talking, but it prohibits maintaining garbage. It prohibits storing any liquids or chemicals, things commonly found in homes or garages. So if these have impacts on the intended building envelope or the potential use of the property, these should have been disclosed in the application and been available for consideration at the hearing as either conditions of approval or a new footprint. So it would have been critical to the hearing examiner's finding. And I think it's well within the scope of the purpose of granting or denying the variance. Ultimately, without identifying the easement on the site plan, you've granted a variance that leads for the potential for a violation of this covenant, which means if building is pursued in violation of this covenant, then we have to go seek an injunction in court. So why not stop at the first place? Part of the reason of disclosing easements on these site plans is to avoid building, avoid future uses that violate these covenants. And while I don't expect you to necessarily interpret them, that's what the county review process is for, to say, this was maybe never a viable proposal to begin with because of this existing easement. Because now if we get if Mr. Willems gets a permit to build because the variance application is approved and doesn't say otherwise, if we believe that that's in violation of that private covenant, now we have to go back to court, get an injunction to stop the building. And then the fingers point back to the county saying, well, you granted these variances, you gave me a building permit to build here. So it seems especially relevant to, when the purpose of the variance was to construct a building envelope for a single family residence, and these covenants potentially impact the ability to build a single family residence. And these covenants were created by Mr. Willems, so he knew or should have known about them. They were omitted from the application, which is a failure in the application process. So the covenants themselves were never then considered by agencies responsible for reviewing this proposal. And recall, at one point, the county had said they want all mitigation to take place outside of easements. The existence of this easement may impact a county or ecology comment about whether the mitigation that was proposed as part of the accepted variance is acceptable anymore. So there's a domino effect that the existence of this easement has, and I think it places it squarely in the hearing examiner's authority. It was a defect in the application, can't benefit from his silence. And ultimately, if the decision remains intact, is not either denied outright or rescinded for remanded for further review by the county and additional conditions of approval, then we're looking at a situation where if building commences, we're back in court. So we think the judge was right to remand it. It's a material omission from the application. It really should render the application fatal. It's well within your scope of authority, given that this variance was specifically granted for purposes of developing a building envelope. The applicant knew or should have known about it. So it's not a hardship to deny outright this variance.
Let me ask you a question. Were these arguments that the failure to consider the agreement was fatal and should invalidate the hearing examiner's decision entirely and send this back to staff for a new consideration? Was that argument made to Superior Court?
We made the argument that it should be denied on that basis, or alternatively to remand for you to deny. So we did argue that it renders it fatal. And the court, rather than saying it renders it fatal, remanded it back for the hearing examiner to determine essentially, does it render it fatal or will it remain intact? Or but clearly the judge felt the application was flawed by failure to include this requirement.
Okay. All right. Well, that's interesting. Okay. Thank you very much. Anything else from you or your clients?
That is all.
All right. Thank you very much. I'll turn this matter over to the general public now. Is there any member of the general public that came today that wished to offer any testimony on this matter? All right, is there anything further from the county?
From staff, looking at the site plan of record, it does show that there is a well easement. It does not say that it's 20 feet in width, but per the scale demonstrated on the site plan, it is approximately 20 feet in existence. The for the proposed buildable areas are located outside of this existing or outside of this easement per the site plan of record, and also the mitigation being proposed is also shown as being outside the well easement. The well head protection, it is only shown as 50 feet on the site plan of record and not the 100 feet, but due to the previous code violation that was on the property, the septic tank had to be moved outside the well or outside the 100 foot buffer from the well to meet the 100 foot setback from the well head and outside of the requirements. So that's just some point of clarification that it might not necessarily be mentioned in the staff report, but it is shown on the site plan of record for those items.
All right, thank you very much. Mr. Foster, anything further from you?
Nothing further, Mr. Hearing Examiner.
All right, Mr. Benson, anything further from the applicant?
Yes, I just would like to note that the notice of complete was issued by the county on October 20 of 2020. It wasn't appealed. And so any question about whether the application is complete is really irrelevant now. The matter was remanded by the Superior Court for the hearing examiner to look at this easement. But our position again is if the hearing examiner determines that it's outside the office of the hearing examiner to construe that easement, then the variance can be approved. Thank you.
All right, thank you very much. All right, well, this is an interesting remand from Superior Court. And as I indicated before, I will review the applicable law. More importantly, I will review the judge's directive to the hearing examiner. As I indicated before, I think it's always a wise thing for a hearing examiner to follow a directive that has come down from the court. And I will try to discern what His Honor was asking of the hearing examiner. I will have a written decision made within the next 10 working days, realizing that within those next 10 working days, we do have a holiday, but I'll still try to get this decision out as quickly as possible. Appreciate everybody coming and offering their insights on what happened at the Superior Court hearing and your arguments today. It is much appreciated. There are no other items on today's agenda, so I will wish everybody a very, very Merry Christmas and have a safe and healthy New Year. With that, this meeting's adjourned. Take care, everybody.
Thank you.
Yep.
Bye-bye.